Since I have a little extra time, I'm going to get mic'd up. And then give Tim time to bring the mic stick down as I'm getting mic'd up. All right, there we go. Y'all doing all right? Good session so far? I'll do my best not to ruin that. All right? If nothing else, you get to eat right after this. Well, not right after this. You do have just a few minutes session between then and now. Okay. We are getting started just a little bit early here, but I'll take every extra minute or two that I can get. Anybody not get one of the articles that's being passed around? Anybody want their hand up? I need one down here. Okay, so just hand some out to the aisles there if you don't mind. We'll hit this. I'll mention this article about halfway in, but this was more material than what I could cover in one class, so this is kind of for your reading a little bit later. Okay, as we think about this topic, I'm going to start with big yellow warning tape. All right. Will there be any graphic material in this? Absolutely not. There will not be any graphic material in this lesson. But I will say, let's go ahead and get it out, get in the open. I'll use the word sex through the session. There's no reason to laugh about that. There's no reason to be embarrassed about that. But that's really what this topic is about. Maybe a little bit uncomfortable for me, but to be quite honest, it's probably more uncomfortable for me than it is you, because many of you are in the locker rooms with your buddies, and I'll go ahead and tell you ahead of time, a lot of those things are lies. But a lot of you are in the school system, and you're in the locker rooms, you're in PE classes, and there's a lot of talking going on around you about this. So you're probably more comfortable with this topic than I am in front of you. I don't know. I'm not overly confident and happy with it, but you know, we'll get there. It is not a comfortable topic to sit and to talk about. So they ask the question, why am I doing this? Well, I don't know. Steve said at the beginning, we're going to match up the topic to the person. I didn't know exactly what to think when I actually thought about the topic I had coming. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. Probably more likely, and actually the truth of the matter is, my wife is a forensic nurse for long time, which basically means she sees assault patients all the time. And so much of what she sees is true victims, both boys and girls, that have been attacked. And my heart goes out for these kids. But there's also a very high percentage of what my wife sees on a week-by-week basis. That people in the wrong place at the wrong time, doing the wrong thing, put themselves in a situation that they got themselves hurt. So, I don't know if that makes me an expert to talk about this, but I think it was more just bad luck that what my wife does for a profession that I got looped in with it. But I do hear enough stories that I think I do feel for the situation out there. And I will say that most of the stories that she comes home and tells is bad as I hate to say it. Well over 50% of it is someone's in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing. And bad things happen. Now that is not to negate. There are plenty of cases of what she sees are true victims. They've been hurt, assaulted, did nothing wrong, asked for nothing, but they were just attacked. And that is heartbreaking. But that is definitely not what we're here to talk about today. Case in point to that. Limestone County police officers running down the road. They see a car on the side of the road. They pull over to help the inhabitants of the car to see if everybody's okay. And they find a young teenage girl and a much older guy having sex in the car. And to make matters worse, they were on their way home from her having an abortion in a larger city. Okay? I don't say that to make anybody gross out. I say that to say that's the society that we live in. That's what's going on in Limestone County. That's what's going on all around us. It's sad. But it's so true. It is so true. You might could talk to me today about whether or not we should believe the Bible, but it'd be very hard for you to come to me and say, the Bible does not teach that sexual immorality is wrong or sexual promiscuity. If I was, there's two major words. There's a word that's used a lot, fornication, and the other is adultery. Somebody tell me what fornication is. Sex before marriage. Somebody that you're not married to. What about adultery? That's right. Either the person committing it is married, or the person in whom they're in the relationship with is married. So, those two. Now, does the scriptures have anything to say about those? Both of those words? Both of those situations? Well, yes, the scriptures have a lot to say, but just to pick out a couple. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, do you not know that all in all righteousness will, do you not know that the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of heaven? Do not be deceived. First thing Paul said. We're talking about illusions. What is an illusion? Is it not a trick where the hand's faster than the eye, right? Bait and switch. Here, believe this. Oh, here's the truth over here, right? My hand can move faster. Do not be deceived. First word that Paul says, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor homosexual, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Could it be any more clear than that? Well, I don't think we have to do a lot to debate, is it right or is it wrong? And I don't think anybody come here with it in mind. Are we going to debate whether or not this is right or whether this is wrong? In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, and lust of them. Just to kind of to continue as a survey, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Therefore put to death those members which are of the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. So, we can't debate whether this is wrong. We might can debate whether we believe in Scripture or not. We cannot debate whether Scripture teaches this is wrong. And I'll say something else. There's a lot of people that want me to stand up here and start this session out today. Many ladies would actually say, you need to get up there and start this session out today. People that was talking to me about it, start out by saying, your pigs, your animals, your dogs, it's your hormones, they're controlling you, and you're horrible people. But I'm here to tell you, that's not true. Ian, somebody here from Eastside, what was the main purpose of Lorenzo's lesson this past Sunday? Are we animals and pigs and dogs? How were we created? In the image of God. Very good. Thank you, Josh. We were created in the image of God. We're not animals. We're not pigs. What is the difference? What we choose to be. Right? It is what we choose to be. So you can choose to be any of those things that our society tries to label us guys. Dogs, pigs, right? Animals, nothing but your hormonal instincts. That's all there is to it. There's a lot of people in the society, that's what they want to label you. That's not what you are. You are special creatures created in the image of God. And you've got to make a choice. Every day, every situation you find yourself in, you've got to make a choice. Are you going to be that image that was created inside of God? Or are you going to give yourself over to those instincts that may be around? So, with that, if that's not enough of a warning for the material we're going to cover today, I don't know what. But to think about this concept that we were made in the image of God, that's what I want you to know. You can overcome this. This does not have to defeat you. Not everybody in the world is doing it, right? The things we hear, it's not that prolific. It's not everybody doing it. You can overcome this. I want you to remember three things and take three things away from you. One, when we start talking about the sexual relationship topic, God created it for good. This is not something to be embarrassed about. This is not some horrible thing that you just never talk about. You shun, you put it in the closet. It's not necessarily the thing you want to talk about at the table. But this is not some horrible thing that we're scared of that we never talk about. God created this relationship for good. In the commitment of marriage, this is a wonderful thing, and we'll spend some time on that in just a minute. But the bad thing is, Satan, the roaring lion, the great trickster, the great illusionist, is going to use it to destroy you. He is going to use it to destroy me. He's going to try to use it to destroy the preachers and the elders and everybody that he can. Why? Because does he care about us? What does he want? He wants us destroyed. He wants our souls at the end of the day. So whatever lie he can get us to believe, that's what he wants us to believe. So, first, God created this relationship for good, and don't ever let anybody take you there. Second, Satan will exploit this to destroy your soul. And third, this can be a blessing, this can be a curse, and it's your choice. God made the choice. God made the choice for it to be a blessing. But whether it's a blessing at the end of the day or a curse at the end of the day for you is up to you and the decisions you make today, tomorrow, and next day. Okay? So that's kind of the outline of what we're going to be talking about today. Those 3 points are the ones that I want you to go away with. We're going to talk about a lot more. But these are the three that I think, if we can carry these away, it gives us the outline of the material we want to discuss. I want you to go back in time with me for just a minute. You are Adam in the garden. We're going all the way back to creation. God has created the animals. Eve's not in the picture yet. God has created the animals. And he's bringing the animals by Adam. Adam says, he sees this animal come by with a really long neck, so he says, that's long neck. In our translation, that's giraffe, right? He sees another pair of animals come in, and he notices the animals, and he gives it a name. And God brings all of the animals, all the beasts of the field by into name. Somebody tell me, what does he notice? Of all of this I see, there's no one like me. Now I want you for just a minute to imagine how lonely that must have felt. There's not the friend that's sitting beside you to turn and talk to. There's not mom that when you're scared that you can go talk to. There's not dad that you can ask for advice. There's not a brother or a sister, and there's definitely not the girlfriend that you've longed for. Can you imagine that kind of emptiness? Nobody like you. Then what did God do? The first surgery, right? Caused Adam to go to sleep. Took a rib from Adam's side, and what did he create? Woman. And when Adam woke up, he looked over and said, oh, that's my flesh, right? Think about how Adam would have said that. I don't know how long God let the loneliness continue when he realized that there was no one else like him. That time between he realized that there was no help like him, there's nothing for him, and when this happened. But there was enough time to go by that when he said this, I think the tone was more like, oh, this is bone of my bone. This is flesh of my flesh. This is someone like me. God has made woman. She is like me. Couldn't have been a happier case. And then throughout time, God has gone back to that point. Just a few verses later in this passage, or in the book of Genesis, God says, let every man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and two shall become what? One flesh. That's that relationship that God created from the very beginning. Adam saw it work. God actually let Adam be lonely long enough to actually see it work. I hope we can see it work. This is the way God created it for good. And the two shall become one flesh. Jesus uses it. He uses it to teach in Matthew. He uses it to teach against divorce. Master, what do you say about divorce? Moses says, if she displeases you, write her a bill of divorcement. What did Jesus say? From the beginning, what? It was not so. Guys, you're going to have to wake up. It's almost lunchtime. I don't have the 9:30. From the beginning, it was not so. God made them male and female for this cause. Father shall leave his mother, he joined to his wife, and the two shall be. Now, what are some other examples in the scriptures where two become one? You can have a man becoming one flesh with a harlot. You see that example in the scriptures. There are several examples through the scriptures where you have two things out here and they become one. And then he says things like what you joined yourself to. You become one with what you join yourself to. Does God not also use this marriage relationship between Christ and the church? Well, in reality, when we become Christians, we become part of the church. We become one. What was Jesus' prayer to the Father? I and you, you and me, that we may all be one. Right? So this oneness, this relationship, this oneness, that's a concept that goes throughout the scripture. This oneness that brings everyone together. One flesh. Well, in this setting, it's sexual, and it's also psychological and physical, and it's everything together. You become one flesh. Anybody intermarried? Beyond the back row? On this side of the back row? We have had married couples in these sessions before. But I will tell you, you're not there yet. There's not a more wonderful relationship than to know there's someone out there that knows everything about you, and you don't have to worry if anybody else is going to know it. There's someone out there that knows you better and knows you more intimately, knows you better than anything else. They know your needs. They know what you like. They know what you don't like. They know you better than anybody else. And probably, from girls to guys, know you better than you know yourself. And we turn around and just try to keep up. But then we do reciprocate that. We do our best to try to know them as well as we can and to be that partner for life for them. There's nothing better than that relationship. And I would say if you was to ask the elders in the back of the room or any that would serve anywhere, the work they do, if they couldn't do it without that relationship, that partnership, that one flesh. It's a lot more. It is physical. It is sexual, but it is so much more. God created this relationship for good. And the sexual part of it is so much to be inside the commitment. Inside the commitment of marriage is a great thing. The sin comes when we take the commitment away and we start the relationship without the commitment of marriage. That's when trouble comes about. Now, has any of you have seen National Geographic movies and you see the lion and the lion takes out the zebra? Right? Has anybody in here not seen something? Well, maybe it's the lion taking something else out, right? A gazelle, something running through the open field. When you see it, when you read these passages of Satan is wandering around like a roaring lion. I don't want you to see some nice fluffy peanut bandit. I'll never forget Andrew's dad telling the story of the lion when the lion roars in South Africa. You're out in the open, the lion roars. Every hair on the back of your head stands. Absolute sheer fear sets in. Why? The lion's a predator. The lion wants to kill you. These things that God has created for good, Satan wants to use to destroy Satan. And that's simply how it is. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, we've talked about it several times. Somebody tell me just, what does it say? General idea, what does it say? Satan is a roaring lion. I was going to say, I cheated. I've already told you about this. See, I told you all the way back. I've already told you about this. When Satan is a roaring lion, what's he out to do? Seeking whom he may do what? Devour. Destroy. He's looking for who he may destroy. What about 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15? For all of this is in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not in the Father, but it's in the world. So we have these things that's in the world. All of these things, the lust of the flesh. We've talked about the good relationship the sexual relationship is. But this is when we start getting into what Satan wants to use it for to destroy you. The lust of the flesh. God created the body, created us, so that we're attracted to the opposite sex. How God made it. That's a good thing. Satan has used that to try to destroy you. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In Revelation chapter 12, in verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil, who deceived the world, and he was cast to the earth, and his angels was cast out. So what do we see Satan there being depicted as? He's this great dragon. And what is he doing? He's the what of the world. He's the deceiver of the world. Now, talk to me just for a minute. When I say the deceiver, talk to me. What's a deceiver? He's one who misleads. Accidentally or intentionally? Purposely. This is someone who, now what about a magician? Is it accidental or is very much intentional, right? Whether he's making somebody disappear, no matter what the illusion is he's trying to do, he's trying to kick, as well as how the magician makes his money, right? Even those of old that was in the scriptures, when they saw real, true miracles of God, those that were sorcerers, they turned and looked because what? They could tell the difference in trickery or sorcery and the truth. Well, that's what Satan is. He is this great deceiver of the world.
Too happy. It can't be that bad.
How many in our society don't know this song? Okay? I am glad to hear there's people here that don't know this song. That's great. Well, what's the words of it? If it makes you happy, it can't be what? That bad. Even if you don't know this song and don't know the words to this song, it's pretty much everywhere, right? Did I say something backwards? Oh, okay. Just making sure. You had the look on your face and he just completely reversed something. And I could pick any number of songs. I quickly, off the top of my head, this is one that is kind of the running joke in our car. When you hear it come on, how fast can somebody's finger get to the button to change the station, right? But this is as prevalent in our society as you can get. If it makes me happy, it's okay. It can't be bad if it makes me happy. Now, let's think about as that song goes on. Actually, let's go to another song by the name of Meatloaf. And that's the only audio clip that I have for you today. So, we won't continue with the music portion of this. But I wanted to catch your attention with what is out there. Because when you hear that come on the radio, does it catch your attention like it does standing here in a Bible class? Can you let this kind of music just kind of go by you on the radio and it just kind of blends into the background music, right? But when I turn it up, and boy, when the song is way out of character or the topic that we're talking about, it's hard for that one to not stand out. Listen to these lyrics from Meatloaf. Well before your time, I understand. You got to do what you can and let Mother Nature do the rest. Ain't no doubt about it. We are doubly blessed because we're barely 17. Now, these sound horrible, but if you will stop and listen to the radio, this is everywhere. Maybe it's hidden by a pop song, maybe it's hidden by a good, cool beat, but these kind of things are everywhere. All right, if you're sitting in this front row, I want you to stay seated, and I want every other row to stand up for a second. So if the person in front of you is standing, you sit. If the person in front of you is sitting, you stand. Alternate rows. Stand, sit. All right, I think we're close. Oh, we must all be guys. We listen really good to instructions. All right. I've been doing some things with statistics. Looking at statistics. And I want you to look around for just a second. Statistics says, now I know these statistics are kind of bloated because the people in this room right here today, right now, I've got a feeling you're not going to be part of this as a larger number of you are part of the statistics. Because you're giving up your Friday night and your all-day Saturday to be here today. But you're roughly half the room is standing up. And the statistic says, and you may sit back down, statistics says that half of high school seniors have been sexually active. At age 12, about 2%. Now that should take our breath away, that even 2% of 12-year-olds. And the sad thing is, my wife comes home and tells me stories. It is not untrue, even in this county. By 14 to 15-year-olds, the youngest people in this room with us here, 10 to 15%. Are these songs working on our society? Is this concept working on our society? Well, we're talking about this today because Satan is a roaring lion. And he wants to devour you. If we was to take this up to the college level, now, now that you know my trick, I want the first one to stand up, two benches to stay down, one bench to stand up, and the rest, you know what I'm saying? Every third bench, stand up. Two benches, stay seated, one bench, stand. So stand, Paul. Two, stay. Josh, your row, stand up. You got the pattern? Okay, now, 75% of college, and you know what? Some of them say up to 85 to 90. Look around at how many are standing. According to statistics, this is the people who are keeping themselves from marriage by the time they've gotten out of college. How many of you are the age of college seniors? Junior, seniors in college. This is your peers. You may have to see. This is why we're doing this. Do I think that's true in this room today? No. Again, if you care enough to be here last night and today and give up your Friday night and Saturday, do I think it's non-existent in this room? Absolutely not. If I have this many guys together, somebody is struggling with this. Okay? That's not bad. We're here to help you. We want every soul here to go to heaven, but it's just true. I don't care how good your family is. I don't care the situation you're in. You may go to Bible school. You may be a homeschooler. You may be at public school trying to fight this with every one of your peers around you. But if the statistics are this high, it's here among us as well. The statistics aren't as high among us, right? I wasn't actually telling you to look at the people that are good versus the people who are bad. I was trying to get you to see the distinction. Now, there is a term that goes around in college, and it's called hooking up. Okay, I heard this actually from really young kids one time and said, do you know what you're saying? So I actually went and started looking into the concept of what hooking up. Somebody want to tell me what hooking up means? Sexual relationship with someone you've known 24 hours or less in a very high percentage of college freshmen and sophomores. Freely admit that this is 3 to 4 times a week. Somebody I've known less than 24 hours. Or, even worse, somebody who's just a good friend to me. We have no intentions for it to be more than just a good friend. But, hey, we're young, we're free. Right? This is the scary thing that our society has come to. And the bad thing is our society, if it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. This is what they're promoting. This is what Satan is doing. He's all around you. And this is what he's doing. In Romans chapter 1 and verses 28 to 31, if you don't mind, let's go there for just a minute. I'm going to read, and I would love to ask you to read, but we are trying to record this, so I'm trying to do as much of the talking as I can from that perspective. But that doesn't mean I don't want you to answer questions. This means I'll repeat them. In verses 28 through 31, I'm sorry, and it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. Okay? So this is a group of people, God's just given over to this debased mind. To do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness. I got a message on the screen, so I'll turn my back. All unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-minded, their whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient parents, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Wow. What kind of company does sexual immorality keep? Is this the people you want to hang out with? Right? Is this the characteristics that you want to be listed right in the middle of? Pick any of those characteristics you want to be listed in. You want to have a characteristic that's listed in the middle of this. Now, someone tell me in verse 32, right after this, what is said about these people? They're serving to death. Not what our society would say. Our society would say, if it makes me feel good, I should be doing it. God says if they're doing these things, they're deserving of death. Okay? Somebody back up just a little bit to about verse 26 for me. Though it may not be thought of that much in this particular context, what's 26 through 27 about? Homosexuality. Okay? Is homosexuality sexual prostitution? Blech. Sexual immorality? I'm going to just change the word because I won't get done that on that. Absolutely. This concept of giving themselves over to a debased mind? Very much right in context with these comments about homosexuality and the verses leading up to this. One of the things that the statistics show is that the rise, a sharp rise, a scaringly sharp rise, and the kids your age homosexual behavior. Experimentation. Just checking it out is the things that are on, that are listed as the verbiage amongst the college students talking about this and the high school students talking about it. That scares me. We're going to talk about a little bit maybe of the reasoning behind it here in just a minute, but that scares me. It really does. And again, somebody look at verse 32 for me just a minute. And there's two things I want. First, we've already pointed out that those that do these things are deserving of death, but there's also another category that's listed in verse 32. Somebody tell me what I'm looking for. That's right, those that might approve of it. So now we've taken a step further. Whether it's sexual immorality, whether it's proud backbiting, or homosexuality, it really doesn't matter. Not only those that are doing it, but those that are saying, I'm just going to take a step back and, you know, I wouldn't do it myself, but I'm not going to say it wrong. What do they deserve? Death. Now let's not get too hard on them. What do we all deserve? Death. We need Christ, right? I mean, we all need repentance. We all need forgiveness, right? But in this state that they're currently in of either approving of this sexual or homosexual behavior or sexual immorality or boastful or proud, for all that matter goes, they're deserving of death. Okay? Does that kind of, I hope that gives us a little jolt of awareness. I can't find the right word. So, let's just start asking some of the questions. What are some of the illusions that are out there that Satan uses to inspire this kind of behavior? What are some of the lies, the deceits that Satan uses to tell the kids that are your age that this is okay? Everyone is doing it. Right? Everybody out there is doing it. These people that are saying it's wrong, they're what? They're old folks. I mean, look. Somebody called us young last night. I forgot who it was. I think it was either Paul or Andrew, one of those just a little bit older than us. I love being in that category. But I tell you what, the world would call me old. And if you actually say that these things are wrong, the world's going to call you old too. That's, you know, everybody's doing it. That's just the old people that don't like this, right? They're just trying to keep you doing it. What else? What about I can't help it? Right? This is just, you know, it's my body, it's the way I'm designed. I can't help this. Well, one, you just created the image of God, and yes, you can't help it. But two, if you're saying, I can't help it, what does that make you? Does it not make you a pig, a dog, an animal that we started the session out with? If I say this, I just can't help it, I just gotta do it. Well, no, if you have nothing but your just bodily desires, and that's all that you have that drives you, you're nothing more than a pig, a dog. We started the session out saying we're so much more than that. You can help it. Anybody got other things they want to add to that list? Yes. That you, yeah, everybody talks about consequences of this. You can get by without it. That's a good one. Anybody ever heard it's just innocent fun? Nothing all that wrong with it. It's just innocent fun. It's just two people being teenagers. They're just being kids. These are all lies. Okay. And as we know that, and we know that going into the situation, it helps us. Now, these are the easy things to know. But also I want to ask the question, what are some tools that Satan uses to get these messages out to us? Peer pressure. Those people around us talking to us, yes. That is very much, because that's probably the most powerful tool, and we're going to talk about one more than that in a moment. What else? Movies. We've already talked about music. The music is there. I mean, because I would say, how many people in the room like to listen to music all the time? Okay? So we got a lot of music listeners in here. How many people watch movies? Okay? This is disturbing, and I can't prove this. The article I gave you speaks a little bit, doesn't really speak to this particular topic, but I tell you what, Disney and Nickelodeon and the likes has done a ton to tear our society. They're trying to teach young children that it is okay to be effeminate, They're trying to teach young children that it is okay to have two moms. It is okay to have two dads. It is okay. How many sitcoms do you see today where the dad is just a dunce? And if mom wasn't there to save the day, that everything goes south. Now, think about how many sitcoms and how many TV shows do you see where the dad is actually a man? And he could get in out of the rain if the rain was to start coming down. Right? We have flipped this thing. TVs, movies, they have flipped these things. They're making men to look like bumbling fools that couldn't get out of their own way if the women weren't there to save them. So you just can't help yourself. You're just that crazy. No, you can't help yourself. You were made with God. TVs, movies, I think they're a huge influence on us. And I think the bad thing is that all too often we let them affect our children at a very young age. And I will say something. This is a free tidbit. I hear from, you know, I also have a daughter that's at the high school level, and I hear from her and from her friends, and I hear it from others as well, that says there's a lot of girls that actually want guys to be guys again, right? To actually have a backbone, to be able to stand up against something and say, I'm going to do what is right. There's girls out there that actually don't want the buffoons on television that can't get in out of the rain. They want men that actually can lead them. So that's just a free extra thought I would throw in there as we go through. People will say, it's okay. It doesn't hurt anything. This is a quote, and this quote comes strictly from that article. I wish I had time to spend significant time in the article. With only 10 more minutes today, I don't. And I even got started. But this quote from a 15-year-old, well, actually much older at the time. Amanda was much older at the time. I lost my virginity when I was 15. My boyfriend and I thought we loved each other so much. But once we began having sex, it completely destroyed any love that we had, and I felt that he was no longer interested in spending time with me. He was only interested in spending time with my body. Why don't you let that set in for a second? We're going to talk about not letting these desires get excited in just a moment. But one of the key things, people says that it doesn't hurt anything, but one of the key things, and if you look at this article over and over and over again, it kills the esteem, confidence, anything psychological. There's psychological destruction from this sex outside the commitment of marriage. It's horrible. I can assure you, grades will go down. Guilt will set in. Grades will start slipping. And what's so bad is you start lying and trying to keep things from your parents, the people that are closest to you, wanting to help you, seeing you getting worse and more depressed and slipping off further and further away, trying to reach out to help you, and you're pushing them further away because you can't even begin to want to talk to them about what's going on in your life. It's just innocent fun, right? It's just innocent fun. I'll tell you just how innocent fun it is. One of the things, one of the saddest cases I think my wife has come home and told was there was this young girl, there was two boys, two girls had gone out. Well, two of them had gotten in the back seat. Things had gone to, had progressed. And the other girl that was with the other boy decided she was going to say no. So before the night that was over, the girl that was with the other guy was with the second guy. I know it sounds pretty horrible, right? Well, guess what? Dad's found out. It's now time for boys to be arrested. There was over 18, girls was under 18. They went and picked the first boy up. But before the second boy was picked up, he committed suicide. Right here in this county. Okay? It destroys. It's not something out in the future. It's not innocent childhood fun. It destroys. I hope you get that. And I hope you know that. I hope you can learn that here without learning that the hard way. But there are so many things that we don't have time to talk about that's in those articles. And I do hope you'll talk about it. But what sets the depression on? I mean, you've got fear of pregnancy, regret from what you've done. Because almost, I don't care who the boy is, who the girl is. At some point in their life, they've probably been taught some sense of morality, hopefully raised in a Christian home where they've been taught a lot of morality. But even if not, they have some sense of morality. I don't think you can go out and find any 15, 16, 17-year-old boys and girls out there in a sexual relationship that thinks it's just okay. They're guilty. They regret it. They're trying to hide this because they wouldn't be trying to hide it from their parents. But it leads to suicide, depression, destroys relationships, and impact on them. And one that I think I'm just going to highlight ever so briefly is this can impact a marriage years down the road. It can. That guilt that something you've done today, we're going to talk about ways out of this later, but the guilt of something you can do today can impact a marriage 20, 30 years down the road. That guilt can carry through. And this is something, this is as close to explicit as I'm going to get. And I want you to know I'm doing this with the most honor. But it's so prevalent, especially at the college level. Guys and girls are trying to keep from going too far. Girls that don't want to go too far, that's trying to keep a boyfriend and keep the boyfriend happy, and then find themselves in an oral sex situation. It's just as wrong. Don't believe a lie. It's just as wrong. And the thing is, and I'm trying not to go too far into Gary's material and pornography layer, but let me just give you a glimpse into what it does. It makes guys see girls as objects. They're there for no other purpose than to fulfill their desires. If you want to know what's wrong with this, if you want to know what's wrong with this statement, what it becomes really quickly is guys see this girl, because there's no commitment, there's no long-term commitment to it. They see this girl as someone to fulfill. They're there for me. And you cannot tell me that a girl does not know this. And this can go both ways. Okay? You can be out and you can have every intention of being pure. And you can go out and you can go on a date with a girl that says, hey, look, there's a creep that's outside my father's house. Let's go see him. And I'm telling you, I can tell you from experience, when you're 10th grade in high school, even when you say, I'm not going to do that, that'll catch you off guard. And you go, whoa, figure out how you're going to handle those situations. Okay, we'll talk a little bit more if time permits about that in just a moment. There's so much about man's law versus God's law. You know, really, all man's law cares about is whether one's over 18 and one's under. A big difference. Consequences may change drastically, but in God's law, it's very simple. Outside the commitment of marriage, it's wrong. So often we talk about what, you know, and this is not a 100% rule, but so often men cheat just for the act. Where ladies cheat more for emotional reasons. They want that love, they want that desire, they want that fulfillment. And I cannot tell you enough, the bad choices create bad choices. Charles says that she had an elementary teacher that said, if you find yourself, if you're at the right place at the right time, doing the right thing in the right way, nothing will ever be a problem. Most of the cases that Charles comes home and tells me, never knowing that. But if you're at the wrong place at the wrong time, doing the wrong thing, bad things happen. Think about that before you're alone. I'm not saying there's not times that you and the girl don't want to talk, right? But you can be in the kitchen with your family in the living room, right? And I'm not saying this because I think you're a dog, you're an animal, you're a pig, you're one of these horrible people. I'm saying it because things can get out of control before you know. Limit the alone time. Because bad choices will create bad situations. The last thing I want to say today, we talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians, you can go blank if it's strange at times. 1 Corinthians, we had that long list of things, chapter 6, long list of things that are not inherited. At the end of it, what did Paul say to them right after he gave them that list? And such were. And you know what, I very well could be looking for people right now. And I could very well say, I hope I'm saying, if it is the case, I hope I'm saying such were happening. But if it's not, it's as easy as it is. Are there consequences? Yes, there's consequences you may have to overcome. But it's as easy as it is. Getting your mind right. But you will have to overcome, and you will have to learn to do one of the things that I've learned, to forgive yourself. Because if you don't learn to forgive yourself, you will have these consequences. Down the road. I'm going to leave you with one question. How do I do this? It's really simple. It's a question of who are you going to let control you? Are you going to control you? TV going to control you? Is the girlfriend that may want to go further than you want to go going to control you? Are you going to let your feelings control you? That's the question. But with self-control, the ability to master control of your own body, you can control your will. This can be a blessing as we talk about it. I thank you so much for your time, and I'm sorry I didn't leave time for questions. Write them down, and we'll answer them at 3:45. Thank you for your time. Keep your seats in here. They're going to join us, and then we'll have prayer. A song and a